This morning, we're continuing our series called On the Road with a message entitled The Road to Hope. In 1554, in the nation of England, Mary I stepped in as the Queen of England. One of her top priorities was to rid that nation of anyone that professed faith in Christ alone. In fact, during her reign, she would execute 287 different people because of their profession of faith in Christ. One of those individuals was a man by the name of Thomas Hawker. And in June of 1555, Thomas Hawker was sentenced to be executed by burning at the stake because of his profession of faith. The evening before his execution, he sat in his prison cell. One of his fellow prisoners leaned over in a quiet voice, whispered to him, "Thomas, I have to know. I have to know if this Jesus that you speak of is true, is real. Tomorrow, when you're burning at the stake, Before you're ready to die, I need a sign that this God is real. Would you lift your hands up over your head, just as a symbol that the Jesus that you live by, that you say is real, just as a symbol that he truly is God?" And Thomas responded back and said, "I will." Next morning, this Thomas Hawker is led from his prison cell for the final time to be bound, tied to a stake, and his body is lit on fire. A crowd of people watched as he gave his life for Christ. As his body would be singed and scorched, eventually his fingers would be gone. Many thought that Thomas had finally passed and become a martyr. But as his body was charred out of the ashes, unexpectedly his hands raised over his head. And as his hands raised over his head, the crowd began to erupt. And Thomas reached out and he clapped his hands three times and then collapsed. And that day, June of 1555, we were given a glimpse of the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. That prisoner had his answer, that there is a God and he is real and he is active. And he is the hope of the world. Hope is something that throughout our lives and throughout history has compelled people to do the impossible. In World War II, stories of the Allied forces advancing across Europe became hope for the millions of Jews that were imprisoned in concentration camps. In 1989, November 6th, East Germans were for the first time permitted to leave East Germany and to go into West Germany. We were given this glimpse of hope that the tyranny that they had experienced would finally be done, and that the physical and economic divides that had stood for decades would finally come down. In 1990, in South Africa, we saw hope revealed as Nelson Mandela was released from prison after 27 years of imprisonment. And we started to see the racial divides of that nation that had rocked that nation finally come down. We had these glimpses of hope. And throughout history, some of the more remarkable moments that we find give us these glimpses of hope, of hope. And hope is such a unique concept because hope says that there is still something yet to happen. There's still something yet to experience, that the end has not come yet. And this idea of hope isn't some human concept that we came up with years ago. It's not something that humans just came up with and said, well, this is a new concept, this is a new abstract idea. But hope has its roots in the divine. What I want to share with you briefly this morning is this idea that hope means that God's not finished yet. Some of you this morning, maybe you're walking through difficult, hopeless situations. It may be a diagnosis that a doctor has given you. It might be a job situation that has recently changed and completely transformed the way you see the future. Maybe it's your family that's falling apart around you. And despair has settled in because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's around the next corner. And God wants you to know that there is hope because he's not finished yet. Throughout this month, we're going through a series called On the Road. And the idea that we're sharing is this, that the road to the cross reveals the love of God. The road to the cross was a very destructive road. It was a difficult road to watch. Thousands of people throughout the Roman Empire would be crucified. It was an ugly, gruesome journey toward the cross. But every step that Jesus Christ would take toward crucifixion, toward the pain that he would endure, was a step of love. Because the road to the cross reveals the love of God. And in God's love, in God's incredible love, he has extended to us this hope, the hope of the world, hope of the world that we know as one person, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And from the beginning of time, God gave us glimpses of hope. We see early on in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, up to this point, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, had been created by God. And Adam and Eve, as they were created and they're the only human beings on the face of the earth, they would fall and make a mistake and they would sin. They'd bring sin and pain into the world for the very first time. And as that pain and the consequences of sin start to settle in on Adam and Eve, at this initial moment, God already begins to speak of hope. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, listen to what it says, what God says to Adam and Eve. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity essentially being, I will put distance, I will put a barrier between you and the woman, speaking to the serpent, to Satan. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. What God was saying here is that Eve, one day, your offspring, your descendants, one day will be victorious over Satan, over sin, over death in the grave. Who would that be? That would one day be Christ. Christ would one day be the fulfillment of that promise, that mention of hope there by God. God was speaking of hope even from the earliest moments. So often in our lives, we can find ourselves absent of hope. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13, Solomon writes of hope. And he says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire that is met is a tree of life. Hope is such a powerful catalyst in our lives. Throughout history, but more importantly, in our spiritual journey, hope keeps us moving forward. Hope says that God's not finished yet. And this message of hope wouldn't just come in the book of Genesis, but you see this beacon of hope that God shines throughout the Old Testament, which the Old Testament is the first half of the Bible. And this beacon of hope shines. We see it later in Genesis 18 as God would speak to Abraham. As he spoke to Abraham, he said to Abraham, Abraham, one day your descendants will be a blessing to the entire world. Once again, God is fixing his eyes out into the future. One day, there would come one that will be the hope of the world. And as you follow throughout Jewish history and the Old Testament, you find prophecies throughout the prophets in Isaiah, and Micah, Zechariah. You see prophecies made that one day a Messiah, one that would be a deliverer for God's people, one day he would stand on this earth. And throughout the difficulties that the Israelites would face, as they are exiled, as they're persecuted, as their cities are destroyed, through the good and the bad and the ugly, Israel always held on to this hope. This hope that one day, you know what, God's going to send a Messiah. They didn't know what it would look like. They didn't know who it would be, but they knew one day God was going to send a Messiah, because hope means God's not finished yet. Just when the Israelites thought that everything was finished, they knew that God had one more move. In your life today, it's very easy to assume, you know what, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the end. I'm at the bottom of the bucket. Everything around me is crumbling. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a relationship or a lack of a relationship in your life. And you are ready to throw in the towel. Things have gotten too difficult. You're overwhelmed. And I want you to know this morning that there is hope. There is hope because God's not finished with you yet. That was the message that God shared throughout the Old Testament, throughout Israel's history. He's not finished yet. One day a Messiah would come. As you go from the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, And you cross over into the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. You see this shift start to take place. In the Old Testament, it was hope is coming. Someday, there is Messiah. Someday, a Messiah will come. He will be your deliverer. He will be the one that will change your nation, change the world. And now as you cross over into the New Testament, someday becomes today. And it's Christ, his born to Mary and Joseph, fulfilling prophecies from Isaiah all the way through the prophets from Genesis to Malachi. These prophecies are fulfilled in this one person, in Jesus Christ, as he's born to a Virgin Mary, miraculously. And as Jesus steps into the earth for the first time, the divine takes on flesh and dwells among us. A remarkable moment, a moment that spoke of hope, but the hope was yet to be realized because Jesus was just a baby. But as Jesus would grow, the Son of God walking in this earth, as he reaches the age of 30, as we talked about last week, he would go and start his ministry and begin to teach. Thousands would follow him. But eventually, Christ would experience charges brought against him that he had never practiced, charges that were brought against him that were unfounded, that were false. And he'd be tried, convicted to die a murderer's death upon the cross. And as Jesus was convicted to die, it seems as if the story is coming to a close. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one that for thousands of years God has spoken of, is going to be killed. Not only killed, but he's going to die a criminal's death. The Son of God would die a criminal's death. How could that happen? But remember, hope means God's not finished yet. God was far, far from finished. Look at what takes place in the book of Mark. If you can turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 15. The verses will be on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible this morning. We'll be starting in verse 16. And up to this point, Jesus has now been tried by Pilate, as we talked about last week. And now he's being sent toward the cross. Before he's sent to the cross, though, he goes before the Roman soldiers when they are going to whip him and beat him. Listen to what takes place in verse 16 of Mark chapter 15. It says, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That is the praetorium. Essentially, where they're leading him is they're taking Jesus to this courtyard that was part of Pilate's residence. That was the praetorium. As they take him there, they call together the whole company of soldiers. And many believe that this company of soldiers probably numbered somewhere between 400 and 600 men. That was a typical company in the Roman army. These soldiers were not from that area. They would have been brought in from another part of the Roman Empire. So they weren't familiar with Jewish customs, but they did not like Jews. They did not like the Israelites because they had to put up with them. And now at this moment, these Roman soldiers are about to take their frustration, the hatred that they have for the Jews and for the Israelites, out on the one that calls himself the King of the Jews. Listen to what they do in verse 17. They put a purple robe on him, speaking of Jesus. Then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. Do you understand what they're doing here? They're not worshiping Jesus, they're mocking Jesus. And what they doesn't say here in Mark, but says elsewhere in the other Gospels, is not only were they mocking him, but they started to beat him. They started to whip him. Jesus would endure incredible pain at this moment, not only physically, but emotionally. Remember, not too many days before this, Jesus had been ushered into the city of Jerusalem. His people were cheering his name. He was the King of the Jews. On Palm Sunday, thousands were there, gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. And they were cheering for him. Today, now, he's being mocked, beaten, ridiculed. Scripture says that Jesus was fully human. He experienced the pain and sorrow that we all experience. And if there was ever a story, a moment when Christ experienced that, it was this. That moment of abandonment. I couldn't imagine the abandonment and the hopelessness that Christ must have felt at this moment. Everyone had abandoned him. His disciples were gone. And now these Roman soldiers are mocking him. They're making light of the Son of God, sticking a purple robe on him and crown of thorns, beating him and mock bowing before him. And in verse 20, it goes on and says, and when they had not mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Christ was enduring remarkable pain at this moment. And if you're walking through that season, Jesus understood what you're going through. In fact, they beat Jesus to such an extent that most men would have died before even reaching the cross at this point. And as they led Jesus, they were leading him from the praetorium there, from the residence of Pilate, out to the edge of the city of Jerusalem, outside the walls of Jerusalem, to a place called Golgotha. And Golgotha was the Hebrew word means the place of the skull. And the reason they called it that was because the hillside where they would put the crosses and they'd crucify people, it resembled a human skull, just in the landscaping, the rock structure there. And a number of people would be crucified here. This was a very public thing that the Roman Empire would do throughout their cities because it'd be a discouragement to others to revolt against them or to practice criminal activity. And Jesus now is going to be led towards Golgotha. Now understand from the perspective of the Israelites what was happening here. Israel had been under Roman rule for a number of years. Roman rule that they fought against. Actually, in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a revolt known as the Maccabee revolt. And during the Maccabee revolt, the Israelites try to push back and revolt against the Roman Empire, and they come down hard on the Israelites. And throughout all of the punishment and the sorrow and the pain and the struggle that Israel had experienced under Roman rule, they finally had someone, Jesus, that many thought would be their deliverer, the one that would finally deliver them from Roman rule, Roman authority. And now the one that they thought would be their deliverer is being ushered out down the road through Jerusalem towards Golgotha. Hope was about to die. The Son of God, the one that they had anticipated, was about to die. It seems all hope is lost. And as Jesus takes the cross upon his back, the blood is dripping down his back. Open wounds are on his back. And as he takes that cross and begins the journey toward Golgotha, his body gives out. He physically had nothing left to give. He can't stand it anymore. Listen to what happens in verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And we see another character now introduced in the story. Simon wasn't someone that was commonly known by really anyone. But Simon was from Cyrene, and Cyrene was a city in northern Africa, a place where there was a large concentration of Jews. And most would suspect that Simon was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish feast of the Passover. And he just so happened to be walking out to the countryside where he was staying. And there's a parade of criminals being ushered through the city of Jerusalem. One of those being Jesus. And as Jesus is carrying this heavy cross upon his beaten, broken back, he collapses the streets of Jerusalem. And the Roman soldiers randomly grab Simon out of the crowd. And for a brief period of time, this innocent bystander, this man that had no idea the moment he woke up that morning that he would experience this, for a brief period of time, Simon would carry the symbol of hope for the world, the cross. Jesus was the hope of the world. And now Simon would carry the cross that would kill, that would murder, that would execute the hope of the world. What a remarkable moment. What a remarkable moment for Simon. For that brief period, Simon represented hope for Christ. Hope means that God's not finished yet. Just when you think the story is over, as Jesus collapses under the weight of the cross, Simon steps in and takes the cross and carries it toward Golgotha. I don't know if you've ever been buried under the weight of pain and sorrow, difficulty and struggle. I know I can tell you a numbers of times where the pain of life, the weight of the things around me that are just weighing down on me, just bury me in that collapse. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, I have nothing left to give. You've pushed yourself to the edge and you have nothing left to give. And those are the moments that you just say, God, I have nothing left. I've given it all up. Christ was there. Yes, Christ is the Son of God. He is one that is all powerful, omniscient, meaning he knows everything. He's the Son of God. He possesses all the authority of heaven. But he was fully human. He wasn't just God, but he was God in the flesh. He was fully human, experiencing the pain, the disappointment, the hopelessness that we all experience. And at this moment, as the cross covers Jesus, as it buries him, as it drops him to his knees, Simon steps in and takes the cross. It says that this Simon, the father of Alexander Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross, and they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Jesus here, as he's being led toward the cross, now would become the fulfillment of every prophecy, every statement, every promise that was made by God. Because what would happen is Christ would die upon the cross. The hope of the world would die, criminal's death upon the cross. And the thought once again is, it's over, the story is done. This is the end of the story. I don't know if you've ever had someone tell you that the story's over in your life. This is the last chapter. Maybe you've had someone come to you before and say, you know, you're done. Why don't you just throw in the towel? It's finished. You don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. You know what? You can't do this. You should just give up now. You don't have the strength. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the experience. Just give up now. You know, I've heard that before. Remember a year and a half ago, before Heidi and I came here as your pastors, people saying, you know, you're too young. You can't pastor a church. You don't have what it takes. You don't know what you're going to do. Throughout history, throughout your life, there are always those people. There are always those people that like to speak those words of despair into your life. You don't have what it takes. You're not going to make it. Jesus experienced every obstacle that Satan threw at him. Not only was he tried, wrongly convicted, he'd be beaten almost to the point of death, buried under the weight of the cross as he's trying to carry it through the city of Jerusalem. Finally, he reaches Golgotha in a heap of broken flesh, and he's hung upon that cross. And as the hope of the world hangs, he becomes a spectacle of hope for this world. That spectacle of hope would at one point give up his life, breathe his last breath. And as Jesus would breathe his last breath, it seems that the story is finally over. The end has come. But remember, hope means that God's not finished yet. In your life, it might seem like the end has come, but hope means God's not finished yet. God still has one more move. As Jesus would be taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea, he'd be taken to a tomb, put in his rightful place of burial. And many of you know the story. 3 days later, God wasn't finished yet. God wasn't finished yet. In man's terms, in man's perspective, the story is over. Shut the book. It's over. Their last chapter's been written. Let's move on to something else. Even for Christ's disciples, the story was over. They moved on. They went back to their old careers. They had given up. They thought, man, Jesus, the one we had followed, he died. He gave his life. He's a martyr. It's over. Finished. We're done. But God wasn't finished yet. God wasn't finished yet. 3 days later, Jesus, the Son of God, would rise again, overcome death in the grave. That moment of resurrection was a moment of hope. Hope for you and I. Why? Because God's not finished yet in your life. Maybe for you, you're going through a difficult season at work and you're wondering, maybe I should go to another job, or, you know, this is difficult, or my job future is uncertain. I might lose my job, or maybe I've already lost my job. Maybe in your family, you're wondering, man, my marriage, my family is just falling apart. What's gonna happen? What's around the next corner? 10 years from now, is my family still gonna be intact? How could I have done this? Or maybe your past is catching up with you, a past of addiction or poor choices, and you're wondering, man, is my future even worth it anymore? Maybe it's a relationship that you've been looking for. And you wonder, God, am I gonna be single the rest of my life? Am I ever gonna find that person to live life with for the rest of my life? In those moments, you can easily experience despair and hopelessness. But I want to share with you this morning, God's not finished yet. God's not finished yet. Before you throw in the towel, remember that God's not finished yet. They killed the hope of the world and he came back 3 days later, because God's not finished yet. Hope means that God isn't finished yet, and he's not finished with your life yet. As long as there's breath in your lungs, God still has more in store for your future. Regardless of how difficult and impossible the circumstances might seem, God isn't finished with you yet. And I want to share that with you, because some of you may be ready to give up, may be ready to throw in the towel. But God's not finished with you yet. He still has more. Just as he did for Christ 2,000 years ago, that message of hope that you follow throughout the Old Testament, you finally come to the New Testament, you experience the hope. It comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, 2,000 years later, we look back to that moment of hope as a symbol that God gave us that he's not finished yet. There's still more to be written. There's still more to be written in your life. There's still years to be lived. And each day that God gives us is a gift to step towards him, to experience hope, to practice hope, and to become hope for this world. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, for the hope that we find in you. Lord, for the hope that comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, this story that we read in the book of Mark, Lord, that you are willing to come and to send your son to die for us, but not simply to die, but to rise again. Lord, to be an example of hope to this world, that you're not finished yet, Lord. Lord, I pray for those this morning that are here, that, Lord, maybe you're ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel. God, they need to know that there is hope, that there is a hope in this world. His name is Jesus. There is hope in this world. Maybe you're here today as we're continuing to pray and you're walking with Christ, but hope has been difficult to find in these recent days. Hope seems to have been absent. Hope seems to be something that you can't quite grasp at, and despair is starting to settle into your heart. And yes, you've maybe been in church, or you've walked with Christ for a period of days or years, but it's been getting difficult and you just need someone to pray for you this morning. As you're continuing to pray, if that's you this morning, would you lift your hand today? I wanna pray for you. Pray that God would give you strength and hope once again, that God would open your eyes to see the hope of the world again. If that's you today, would you lift your hand right now? I wanna pray for you. Anyone else, you're walking with Christ, but hope has become difficult. Anyone else, just lift your hand this morning. I see those hands. Let's pray today. Lord, I pray right now for each of those this morning that they're walking with you, but God, it's getting difficult. Lord, their circumstances have become overwhelming. God, they're ready to throw in the towel, but Lord, I pray today that you'd be their strength. Jesus, just as you experienced and your journey toward the cross, Lord, give them the power and strength today to continue to press forward. Lord, I pray today that you would open their eyes and to see that you're not finished yet, Lord. Lord, that you still have more story to write. they still have more life to live. God, give them the strength and remind them, Lord, that there is a hope in this world. His name is Jesus. In your name we pray. As you continue to pray, maybe you're here today, and this person of Jesus that I'm speaking of is foreign to you. You've never experienced the Son of God. You've never experienced the presence of God. You've never had that relationship with Christ. And today, you're walking without hope. The hope of the world is not part of your life. You've never experienced the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. See, Jesus came and died upon the cross, not because he just wanted to start a religion, but he came and died because through our sin, the things that we do that in disobedience against God, we're separated from God. And Jesus came and paid the price that we deserve, the price of death, as he hung upon the cross, and he conquered it as he rose again 3 days later. And we have this gift of forgiveness, that our past can be forgiven and that our future can be bright because of the hope that Christ has now given us. And if that's you this morning, as you're continuing to pray, you've never experienced forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ, I'm gonna ask you right now to lift your hand as well, to raise your hand. We're gonna pray together, collectively, as we have this conversation with God. Anyone here this morning, if you're gonna lift your hand today, wait a moment. Did you pray this prayer with me today, everyone? For those of you that raised your hand, speak these words from your heart today. If everyone could repeat after me as I guide you in this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for me, to bring hope into my hopeless life, to bring purpose into my life, that I can experience the forgiveness of my past. I accept that free gift today, and I commit to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.